Bauer back with you here on 720 WGN. 312-981-7200 is our number. Joining us in studio right now is Dr. Cynthia Wang. She is the executive director. I'm going to see which microphone are you on there, Dr. Wang. I think it is that one. You are the executive director of the Dispute Resolution and Research Center and a clinical professor of management and organizations at Northwestern University's Kellogg School of Management. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning.
Oh, I got you on the wrong mic. Hold on. I got a count here. Is that you right there?
I think this is me.
That is you right there. Thank you so much for coming in. We appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem.
I have to find more guests with seven-year-olds because they're like, yeah, I can be up at 4 in the morning. That's not out of the realm of possibility for
no,
me.
No.
Escaping from the house on a weekend morning.
Yes.
Well, thank you very much for coming down. As you said, the best traffic in Chicago you've
this
probably ever driven.
This is the best, in. Yes.
Oh, come on at 4 in the morning anytime if the traffic's that good. See, Jess, this is how we got to start selling guests on when they're like 4 in the morning. The traffic is great.
Parking is easy.
Parking is available. You'll fly down. Yeah. It's beautiful. So you are going to be part of an event that the Museum of Science and Industry is sponsoring about conspiracy theories. It's the part of their conspiracy series. So I guess they're going to do more than one of these. This one that you'll be involved in this week, Thursday, December 6th at 6 p.m., you and Dr. Nicholas Epley will be at the Revival Theater in Hyde Park. For tickets, go to msichicago.org/conspiracy. Tell me how you... So I read your title. You're the director of the Dispute Resolution and Research Center and a clinical professor of management and organizations at Northwestern University. So I'm like, all right, wait a minute. How are we getting to conspiracy theories?
Exactly. Well, I study a bunch of different topics related to intergroup conflict and, you know, negative and positive perceptions of groups. And if you think about conspiracies, that's kind of related to that, right? So people have conspiracy beliefs about different sorts of groups, and often this can cause a lot of strife between groups, as we've seen in the news these days.
Well, absolutely. And it's interesting because historically, I guess, conspiracy theories would be what? We didn't land on the moon, JFK assassination.
Yeah, JFK, 9/11, aliens living among us.
Sure. Yeah, that's being covered up. But then in recent times, there have been conspiracy theories. And I wonder if there's two different kinds of conspiracy theories. There's these ones that take hold because maybe something is unexplained and we want to find an answer. And then there's something like somebody saying Sandy Hook didn't happen.
Mm-hmm,
that
mm-hmm.
seems to be just, that's not a conspiracy theory. That's somebody being an ass and wanting to cause problems. So they're just going to throw stuff at the wall to get a whole group kind of riled up.
Yeah, yeah. I think some of the motivations behind it are because, you know, they want to believe their group is great and other groups are less so. And conspiracies in general, some are more believable than others, right? And some actually happen. So if you think of Watergate, that was a theory that was an actual conspiracy. So you can, so I guess the definition of a conspiracy is that it's a group working together in secret with malevolent goals. So really bad, evil goals. And so you can see a lot of that these days. Yeah.
And it's interesting you bring up Watergate because I don't think of that as a conspiracy theory because that was an actual thing.
Yeah.
But before it broke, there
was
like,
a theory.
Oh, people are saying that and people are like, oh, you're crazy. That's
exactly.
Not, those things aren't happening.
Yeah.
So that's interesting because what is, in your mind, our most famous conspiracy theory?
Oh,
is it,
that's a good one.
Is it JFK? Is it the moon landing?
You know, I think it is. Yeah, the moon landing. So this idea that, you know, it was all the 1960s and 1970s, there were a bunch of landings on the moon and it was all faked. Actually, it was just a videotape and NASA.
All shot in Hollywood on a back lot.
Hollywood. And the conspiracy is that, you know, these NASA employees, basically, it's actually cheaper just to pretend that this all happened. So they pretended it all happened and make a bunch of money off of it, right?
Well, you know, it's interesting to me to think about, okay, why would we ever do that? Well, we're in this huge race with the Soviet Union for space superiority.
Yep, yep.
It's a big uplifting thing for the nation.
It's great.
If we were going to fail, it would make sense to say, you know what, we could just shoot this on a lot. Nobody
is
going to know. It would
be so cheap.
Nobody's going to see it.
Yeah. And also, like, I think there was even ties to Walt Disney and, you know, the fact that they were the ones helping NASA scientists do it. So
Now where did that start back in the 70s, or was that something that suddenly somebody saw some video? Because I know that I've seen, I don't know when, but on the internet or something. I actually have a friend, a good friend of mine, who dead believes that he's told me that was faked. Like, dead on says, no.
Well, you can't prove him wrong, right?
I can't, I guess.
Right?
I mean,
and that's the thing about conspiracies. It's hard to prove those wrong, these theories.
Is there no way for us to, with the telescopes we have today to look at the moon and say, but there's the flag and there's the stuff.
Well, that can all be faked. So
we somehow sent other stuff up there.
Exactly.
Then.
Even I was reading something recently about, you know, the flat Earth, and these flat earthers are trying to, you know, fly up, and they're saying, look, we fly up this high and you can see it's flat. Right?
Now, wait a minute. So the whole flat Earth thing, I'm not really following it because it seems so stupid. Do those people truly believe, or they just like the idea that they're, you know, they're being, you know, a pain in the butt to the world and just like, yeah, man, the Earth is flat. That's true. Are there really flat earthers that believe the Earth is actually flat?
I do think that they truly believe it because, once again, this is not verifiable unless you put them on a spaceship and take them out to space far enough.
So it's not verifiable because if you show them a photo, they just say that was fake.
Exactly, right? And to your point, there is research that shows that if you have a disagreeable personality, yes, you are more prone to conspiracy theories. So there are personality factors that affect it. Like if you're a narcissist, actually predicts conspiratorial perceptions also, you know, strong political ideologies also does that.
Well, it really has played in, and I don't want to get too political with this because then I get half the listenership mad at me, but President Trump tends to just, you know, really reinforce things that aren't necessarily true or that he just throws out there. Mm-hmm. The Obama birth certificate thing just kept pushing it. Doesn't matter if it's true. If people believe it, it sows division.
Yes.
And that's a big part of conspiracy theories, it seems.
It is. Yeah. One of the motives for conspiracy theories is this positive, this need for positive self-image for yourself and your group. And so you can imagine political groups, you know, Democrats have conspiracies about Republicans and vice versa. And this actually tends to happen even more when your political party has just lost.
Yeah.
Right. So it just gets reinforced even more. And that's when life becomes difficult.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
And are conspiracy theories more than just a weird diversion that's somewhat entertaining, or are they worrisome that we have whole segments of the population that are so willing to believe that we didn't go to the moon, or, you know, something, you know, we could get into the nitty gritty ones of politics today, but the Earth is flat.
Yes.
Does it matter that people believe that?
Yeah, well, I think that's a good question. I think there's some conspiracies you're like, oh, these are just kind of curiosities or it's interesting.
That's silly, aren't they silly?
Yeah, but there are, I mean, conspiratorial beliefs in some ways are good and they're bad, right? They're they're bad when it can really cause conflict or violence between groups, but they're kind of good because they help uncover things like Watergate or make, make people think more about what's really going on and seek information. So a lot of social movements actually are driven by conspiracy theories, things like that.
But there's, and I would imagine, I don't know how well this fits in, but let's look at the Unabomber.
Yeah.
While I don't know that he had any conspiracy theories, his beliefs in his writings sound like somebody who believed that the world was maybe not as it actually is, or really saw things in such a negative
dangerous
way, and that becomes dangerous.
Yeah, and that can become dangerous when there's actually violence attached to
Timothy
it.
Timothy McVeigh, somebody like that. Even if it's not an exact conspiracy theory, that's in that realm.
Yes, that definitely is in that realm because people start thinking like, you know, the government or whole units of people are out to get them or are destroying society, and that's when it can become dangerous.
And is there a way we should be combating that?
Yeah. Well, the other real big driver of conspiracy theories is this feeling of lack of control.
Mm-hmm.
So my friend, her name is Jennifer Whitson, she's at UCLA. She's done her dissertation and she's been published showing that if you feel a lack of control and can't regain control objectively, you try to do it in other ways, so perceptually. Mm. And so people start seeing patterns in the, you know, in stock markets, and they start connecting dots where there's no dots. And one such way is conspiracy theories. So one way to combat it in our one of the papers we've shown more recently is to kind of instill a feelings of control in people. And that's as easy as recalling a time that you had control. And you think it's silly, but we found that just thinking of a time you had control actually lowers conspiratorial perceptions.
Now, is that for the most part a lack of control in your own life? Like I'm getting divorced, I lost my job, or something traumatic happened to you? Because when you say that, a time where you don't have control, 9/11's a big conspiracy. Yeah. I think we all felt pretty lost when that first happened.
Yep.
I could see when JFK, why that people would really think that.
Yeah.
And even the moon landing, maybe I could see throwing some people into
That's true. Yeah, even though it's a very positive event, right?
Yeah, that this scares me and or something like that.
Yeah.
So is it more about national out of control than maybe personal, or is it work both ways?
Actually, it's both. They've shown that you can do it on an individual level. So it's these things, like you said, like a divorce or you lost your job. But they've also shown that when the economy is going down, countries actually experience more paranoia. They see more conspiracies within those countries. So you can think about the downturn, economic downturn that happened in 2008. That's right after I finished grad school. Yeah that was a time when I felt like I lacked control, and I know the country did too. So
was there a theory you started believing in?
Oh, all sorts. Yeah.
Is there any of all the ones that are out there, is there any that you think, you know, it's interesting, cause I guess I would go to the JFK thing, because there's still, all these years later, so much written about that, so many thoughts that there's more to the story than we know, if we just put it that mildly, that there's more to the story than we know. Do you think that is one that maybe will end up being a little Watergate-ish in
That's
the end?
Interesting. That
someday
yeah.
when everything is finally released, we'll find out something that surprises us?
Yeah. I mean, interestingly, conspiracy theorists, they have a lot of evidence that can show maybe, you know, JFK, the JFK conspiracy happens. There's a lot of different people involved and a lot of different connections. And recently I read that, those conspiracies of JFK, they're still on the rise and they're becoming actually more and more prevalent. So who knows?
Well,
who knows? Maybe it's the case.
And that's a really interesting thing, is in our society today now, we have so many tools. When JFK happened, think about the technology versus today.
Very
it's amazing,
different.
Right? And I wonder, even with the Zapruder film now, I wonder what kind of analysis that maybe will go through now or 10 years from now that wasn't available in the past 30, 40 years, that maybe something else will be seen or whatever.
Yeah,
who knows?
Yeah.
But you know, it's interesting to me in two ways. One is that there was so little information at the time when JFK happened, be very easy to spread a conspiracy theory. Now, with something like, say, 9/11, there's so much available.
So
you would think, oh, well, we see it all.
Yeah.
But no, instead, they take the video and they point out all these different things and they try to find you would think more information would hurt the ability to make a conspiracy theory. But instead, it's just how you twist it and try to present it. Right.
That's exactly it. Yeah. There's a lot of research that shows that, you know, when people believe something, they basically just focus on the information that supports their theory.
Yeah.
So when you're, you know, going on the internet, you're really going to ignore all the information anyway that doesn't support your theory. And then you're going to, there's these online communities and chat groups. And what they do with conspiracy theories is keep talking about things that support that particular theory. So it just reinforces the beliefs. The beliefs become even stronger.
We're chatting with Dr. Cynthia Wang from the university or from Northwestern University. Are you driving straight to Indianapolis for the Big Ten title game?
Oh, I wish. No, I'm going to sit at home. And watch it, totally.
Okay.
Go Cats.
Go Cats. That's right. You got to say that every time. Thursday, December 6th, you can meet Dr. Wang in person at the Revival Theater in Hyde Park, msichicago.org/conspiracy. We'll take your calls and questions for our next two as well if you want. 312-981-7200. Mapubala here with you on 720 WGN. Mapubala here with you on 720 WGN. Dr. Cynthia Wang from Northwestern University, Go Cats, is here in studio with us. She will be speaking on Thursday, December 6th at the Revival Theater in Hyde Park. Go to msichicago.org/conspiracy. I was a tour guide at the Museum of Science.
Oh, were you?
In my high school years, yes.
It's a fantastic place.
It is the best museum in the world, especially if you have kids. Have you taken your 7-year-old child?
Yes, many times. We have a subscription, a yearly subscription, so it's great.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah. It's such a fun museum, and I loved working there. And I love
the Pixar exhibit was nice.
I didn't get to. See that. Was it really good? Yeah. It's still there, I think.
Is
right?
it? I don't know.
I feel like I still keep
go anyway.
I can't guarantee it, but yes, go to the Museum of Science and Industry whenever you can, especially if you have young children. And the history of the building.
Oh yeah,
that is the last remaining, or the I believe only building left from the 1893 World's Columbian Exposition.
And I read The Devil in the White City.
I've never read Devil in the White City.
Book.
I have it at home, and I've never started it. But I love the history of that, because that was built, I believe, is the Palace of Fine Arts.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the only permanent structure because it couldn't take a chance on it burning down with all the artworks
yeah.
that are going to be housed in it.
Yeah.
And it's just a gorgeous building. It really is. Okay, so Thursday, December 6th, the conspiracy series, Dr. Cynthia Wang and Dr. Nicholas Epley will talk about conspiracy theories. And Jill has actually called in from Milwaukee and wants to ask us about one, I believe. Hey, Jill, good morning. How are you?
Yes, good morning, Matt. Hi, Dr. Wang.
Hi.
Yes, I draw blood in a hospital and a clinic and more an urban hospital, and I've encountered a lot of this. Like when Prince died and Prince was on the TV, I said, oh, that's sad. He died of an opiate overdose. Oh, no, the Illuminati killed Prince. And then they would say the Illuminati killed Michael Jackson. They'd say there's a cure for diabetes, but they won't reveal it. They want to kill people. Also, I had a gentleman tell me how the lizard people were running the world.
Yeah, I was just reading about that.
Yeah, I had to look all this up. So I'm wondering what you know about the lizard people and the Illuminati.
Thank you so much, Jill, for the call. Go ahead, Dr. Wang.
Yeah, I know about conspiratorial perceptions in general, but I guess there's these shape-shifting lizards that take on human form to try to rule America.
We say, I guess there is. You don't guess that there is. People think that there is.
I think that's a good delineation.
I don't believe you're putting any actual stock in that,
yeah,
correct?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I think there's probably a very low probability that that actually happens, yeah. But it is actually quite a popular conspiracy, it looks like.
That there are lizard people who take the form of humans.
Yes.
And are they actual earth-dwelling lizards that have learned how to do this?
I think they live among us, yes.
But did they come from another planet, or they're just, they've evolved into being able to shapeshift?
I think that's a good question. I think it's not my area of expertise in particular with conspiracy theories. No, not as much. So I will have to get back to you on that one.
That's the first I've ever heard of lizard people. That's an interesting one.
Yeah.
But you know what? Something else Jill was saying, that when somebody famous dies, the Illuminati.
Mm-hmm.
Princess
Di, actually. This is a big one.
Were there?
Yeah. So there's. It's interesting. There was a paper that came out that showed that they asked a bunch of conspiracies about Princess Diana, and the same people that thought that she died also... was murdered, also mm-hmm. endorsed that she was actually secretly alive and faked her own death. So it's interesting. Once you believe one conspiracy theory, you're more likely to be another.
Is that true?
Even
if they conflict with your
exactly,
first one?
Exactly, yeah. So there's a propensity for conspiracy beliefs.
So either she was murdered or she faked it.
Exactly.
One of the two, but she didn't just die in a car crash.
No, but she did both. Right? That's what these conspiracy theorists think. So they probably thought Prince actually is still alive, too.
Well, I wonder. And the Illuminati, like we hear that, Tom Hanks is in those movies, the Dan Brown movies, right? And Nicolas Cage with these American Treasure movies, right? Or National Treasure movies are all about these conspiracies of the founding fathers and Illuminati and the eyeball on the back of the dollar bill and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Where does all that come from and why do we hold on to that?
Yeah. I mean, it goes back to this desire for control and this need to think that, something out there that we potentially distrust is taking over the world, right? Yeah. It's kind of boring if it's just one person. So what makes it really interesting is when there's a network of people that are actually working together to do these things. It's kind of a sexy thing,
Yeah. But also a scary thing, because if we take that into the word globalism and the rise in anti-Semitism that's going on, and a lot of that just feeds into people's...
Exactly.
And they feed that to each
other. Yeah. And just, because once again, we're talking about how everything's so salient now with Facebook and with the news and everything. So you can form conspiracies more easily about things halfway around the world because, you can search for it on the internet and things.
Yeah.
And once again, that's what becomes a little bit dangerous at the end of the day.
I know you're much younger than I am, but when I was growing up, the big conspiracy theory that I can recall now, because I didn't hear much about the moon landing or things like that, but I used to enjoy the National Enquirer when it would be in the house, or the world of the Weekly World News,
mm-hmm.
and there was always an Elvis sighting. Elvis is working at a Burger King in Michigan.
That
was a very popular one for
a while. See that, yeah, and once again, not verifiable. I mean, you can see great Elvis impersonators, and the question is it real or is it not, right?
So. Well, and just they had a lot, they spelled his name wrong on the tombstone,
mm-hmm.
he's not in there, and
it's the patterns again, it's this pattern perception and wanting to hang on to something and get some understanding and control over that.
Is that what it is? Like, yeah, with Diana faked her death, or with Elvis is still alive, that they don't want to admit that the person they loved is gone, that they,
yeah,
this,
yeah,
is something they need to hold on.
That's
to
exactly
in some way.
It. Yeah. People, once again, you know, it's they have a need for understanding. They have a need for their beliefs to be right. So of course you're going to grab onto information, once again, to support your theories. Yeah.
It's 4:30 in the morning. We have Dr. Cynthia Wang here for a few more minutes. Are you okay to stay for a few more,
sure,
minutes? You weren't going to,
yeah,
rush home and get back to bed, right?
I'm up until the cats win.
Until the cats. And you've got, you know, Dave Ennett, who's Mr. Cat, who does the broadcast here of Northwestern Basketball and Football. He's doing the basketball game from Bloomington at noon.
All right.
And then he's driving to Indianapolis to
good
call
for him
the football game.
I'm so happy.
So there you go. So you're very covered through the rest of the night. Make Sundays your official night to tour the city. Watch Chicago's Best at 10 p.m. Then stick around for the latest in shopping, entertainment, and events on See Chicago at 10:30 p.m. on WGN-TV. It's 4:30 in the morning. Let's get a check of the news headlines. Mr. Badish. 720 WGN, 4:35 in the morning. We've got Orion Samuelson coming up in the morning with the morning show at 5 a.m. We've got a few more minutes with Dr. Cynthia Wang, who is so kind to come all the way in. Thank you so much for coming down.
No problem.
So nice to have in-studio guests. It's like we had visitors. We had to clean up and do everything. And there's pizza. But we kept the lights out, so she's sitting in the dark. Although it's actually still bright in here. There's 18 monitors on.
Yeah.
This is a big deal for us.
Saving electricity. This is a big deal for us. Dr. Wang will be part of the conspiracy series. Do you know how many more of these they're going to do, or what the
plan
is?
I think two more. Okay. I don't know who's coming yet, so it'll be a big reveal later on.
So are you definitely not part of the other two?
I'm not part of the other two. I think they want a variety of opinions.
And are you and Dr. Epley like against each other in this?
No,
or
we complement each other. Okay. So, you know, I'm going to talk about the formation of conspiracy theories, and he's going to talk about more of how they're reinforced.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. Excellent. So that's going on this Thursday, December 6th at the Revival Theater in Hyde Park. It's $10 for adults and children. Go to msichicago.org/conspiracy.
I like how you said that.
Maybe you'll do like a big exhibit at the museum.
Oh, that would be great. Like lay out the lizard, you know, all the different types of conspiracies.
We could do that.
Yeah.
We could do one of those Omnimax movies about it.
Oh, that would be great.
Have you ever been in the Omnimax theater?
Yes.
It's gorgeous.
The dome.
Yes, it's awesome.
Yeah.
All right, we have a caller for Dr. Wang. Edward is in the Midway area. He's calling about... we're getting some feedback.
Yeah, I'm here.
Ed, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right. You're on the air, sir.
Yeah. So my thing is, I do think the CIA and the mob, Sam Giancana, plotted to kill Mr. Kennedy.
All right, go ahead and elucidate on that a little bit.
Well, they had wanted to use them to get rid of Mr. Cuban, Fidel Castro. So there was just an article recently in the New York Post about this, the CIA and the mob, Sam Giancana, working together to get rid of Fidel Castro. So I do think that they wanted to get rid of... the Kennedys, because they helped them win the election.
Because the mob helped them win the election. Isn't that the theory?
That's the theory?
Right.
Not the Cubans.
So, you know, a favorite was owed, so...
All right, thank you very much, Edward. I don't know where that one exactly goes, but the whole Kennedy thing is a huge conspiracy.
Yes, yes.
What kind of conspiracies are you planning to talk about at the event?
You know, I think we're just going to talk more about the processes, but in some of my studies, I've, you know, measured how there's a conspiracy about us being controlled by fluorescent lights. So the government actually puts fluorescent lights in order to control us. You know, and other measures we've used have been the 9/11 ones and the birther one, things like that.
Are there any things that we've, you know, I imagine from time to time, we find out horrific stories about things testing the government has done over the years or things like that. So we do hear stories once in a while that let people say, well, that's not out of the realm of possibility. The government has done things in the past.
Yeah.
Are the kids you're teaching in school today, do you think they're more likely to believe in conspiracies or less likely?
That's a good question. I'm not sure. I think the propensity of conspiracies has just been... it's been around so long for so many years. So I think it's still as stable as ever. Once again, I guess it depends on how much feelings of uncertainty they have. I guess there's a lot of anxiety these days in kids in college and stuff. So you can imagine maybe they do see conspiracies.
So when we talk about it's when you have a feeling of being out of control, whether that's on a national level or a personal level,
mm-hmm.
would you say that for a lot of people that while you'd say, oh, they would never believe in a conspiracy theory, that's just not who they are people that believe in conspiracy theories, is that just at a time when they're out of control, but that's always kind of within them that they would lean more towards that? Or is it just, you know, a regular guy who's always had a normal life, but then suddenly things took a weird turn and he sort of, you know, because so often when we see something go awry that makes it to the news with somebody, hear, oh, you know, you're so quiet, he was so nice, he was this or that. And then, you know, maybe there was something that kind of set them over the edge. Would you say that it can happen like that?
It can happen, yeah. I think that, you know, conspiratorial perceptions, it happens to the everyday person too. And it can depend a lot on the situation and a lot on the context. So I'll give you an example of my own life. I was down at Oklahoma State University. I was there for a while. There was a homecoming crash where a car went through, and I was right there. And of course, right away, I started thinking conspiracy theories left and right. It turned out it was just a woman who just went through. So, like, it wasn't a conspiracy. It was just a person. But
so,
you can imagine.
Conspiracy theory was this was done on purpose. They're trying to.
Yeah, there's a bunch of people doing it, and, you know, some sort of group did this. But it was actually just.
Just a random
woman.
Accident.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't an accident. She did it on purpose, but it wasn't a conspiracy. It wasn't a group of people that were like plotting. Yeah. Yeah.
That's interesting. Now, why right away did you think that?
I think it's that lack of that. Like you want answers, and
so
it's
make
this
them
patterns.
Up if you don't have them.
Yeah, and you perceptually have to grab onto something. And conspiracies, it's about making those connections, right?
But isn't that so interesting that so you had no answer, so you made up answers.
Yeah.
But your answer was the worst possible scenario.
Exactly.
Instead
right?
of just, oh, it was random, she's hated one guy, or it was an accident.
Exactly.
We never think, why do we not think the simple thing? When
we don't have it's the complex things, because it's this idea, once again, of connecting the dots. We want a cause and effect. And it's almost like, you know, like a bunch of dots, and we are trying to make an image out of it, and it becomes kind of this more complex thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, in our heads. And that's what we do. We form these patterns of random things that are unrelated and pull them all together. That's naturally what we do in our heads.
It's so crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
I guess I shouldn't say crazy because.
Well, yeah, exactly. Because, really, like I said, everyday people.
Is there a level, though, of like what you would term some mental illness possible when if somebody's really believing in conspiracies, you say, well, you need to see somebody about that?
Yeah, I think once again there is a correlation between paranoia and conspiratorial beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
It's when you start thinking of like the probability of some of these things, right? The lizard people.
Yeah.
The probability that actually is plausible is probably very little. It's, you know, like that these people from another galaxy can come here and pretend that they're us, and they're as in, you know, they have that intelligence to actually fake being humans.
Yeah.
Probably very minuscule, right?
Probably.
Yeah, yeah. So I think when it gets to that type of thinking, then you might have to worry.
Interesting. It'll be an interesting event this Thursday night, December 6th, at the Revival Theater in Hyde Park. Go to msichicago.org/conspiracy. Dr. Cynthia Wang, along with Dr. Nicholas Epley, will be hosting the event and talking about the conspiracy theories in our modern world. Thank you so much for coming in tonight.
Thank you for having me.
We've got Orion Samuelson coming up in a few minutes here on 720 WGN.